From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is Radio Times. I'm Chris Cetullo, sitting in today for Marty Moscoane. For every city looking to rebound or to rise, they are the prize. They are the young, energetic, educated, civically involved college graduates. The type of person whom urban guru Richard Florida has hailed as the creative class. They can be the game changers in urban revival, the young people who can energize a cultural scene, turn around neighborhoods, and boost economies. Or so the theory goes. In Philadelphia, the theory has been working only in fits and starts for a few years. Today on Radio Times, we're joined by three members of Philadelphia's Brain Gain Generation, all of whom are active in the group Young Involved Philadelphia. Let's welcome them in turn to Radio Times. First, Claire Robertson-Kraft is Associate Director of the Center for Greater Philadelphia at the University of Pennsylvania, where she works on education policy. Welcome, Claire.
Thanks, Chris.
Matt Goldfein is Chief of Staff for State Representative Tim Briggs in Montgomery County. He's a resident of Germantown, and he's a member of Young Involved Philadelphia as well. Welcome.
Thanks, Chris.
And Ned Rockmanino is a Policy and Program Analyst for the City of Philadelphia's Urban Industry Initiative, and he lives in Society Hill. Welcome, Ned.
Welcome.
I gave you all a little short shrift on the introduction because I wanted, as a first question, to sort of ask you a little bit about how you came to Philadelphia and why you decided to stay here. Claire, first.
Great. Well, Chris, I grew up in Texas, and all I knew when I was a senior in high school was that I wanted to get as far away from Texas as I possibly could. And I was told, actually, I knew nothing about Philadelphia, that Philadelphia was not a safe place to go. And my guidance counselor actually told me that if I went there, I would have to clutch my purse so I wouldn't be mugged. So I had a really interesting perception of Philadelphia when I came here to go to Penn. But while I was here, I had the opportunity to really get engaged in the city. And through groups like Young Involved Philadelphia and summer internships, I fell in love with the city. And so what I think I love most about Philadelphia is that it's an accessible place. It's a big, small city, and it's walkable. And, you know, you have access to a lot of great things here that you can't get in other places.
When you walk around Philadelphia, do you clutch your purse?
I don't anymore, though I did for the first year that I was here. For the first year that I was here, my Philadelphia was actually, as I like to joke, 41st to the river and about Pine to Market. So when you go to Penn, you don't always get out into the city.
Very true of Penn students. Matt Goldfein, you grew up a little closer to here than Claire.
Yeah, I grew up in Paoli, so I'm, you know, kind of local. Ended up coming back to go to school at Temple. I went to school somewhere else, didn't really like it that much, took a little time off, and came back to go to Temple University. I didn't really have your usual college experience. It wasn't as residential at Temple as it is now. There was a lot less housing, so I lived in Fairmount and really got to experience the city, riding my bike around while I was going to school, and fell in love with it, the different neighborhoods, the different development that was going on. Had a great experience, and that's, you know, why I'm here.
Ned Rockmanino, you say in a bio on the YIP site that you grew up in a town about as big as the Art Museum of Philadelphia.
Yeah, the deer outnumbered people pretty easily. And like Matt and Claire, when I was looking for a college destination, I wanted to find the exact opposite of my current environment, and I looked to Philadelphia. College was the draw, and I knew that I could either go to New York, D.C., or Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia was not only the most affordable, but it's known, at least I knew, it was a place for a lot of college students. It's a pretty easy decision.
So what has kept you here, Claire? I mean, you now live in Center City, right? You've been living here for what, about 5 years since college?
Well, no, actually I left, Chris, after college. I went back to Texas, though I didn't like it, because that's where the job was that I got offered with Teach for America. So I was there for 3 years, and I jumped at the opportunity to come back, though. And I think what's kept me here is I feel like I have access to the city in a way that I didn't when I lived in Houston. And so opportunities to really engage with the city's leadership. And I think that's something that's unique about Philadelphia, but it's not something that everyone has an opportunity to experience. So my college experience was different, I think, than most Penn students, in that I got really involved and engaged in the city. And so I got to know it in a way that most people don't.
Ned, what keeps you here?
Well, in addition to location, we have a great area. I mean, we can get to the shore in an hour, we can get to New York in an hour, we can get to D.C. in 2 hours, and I can get back home to see my family in an hour and a half, 2 hours. There's so much opportunity compared to cities like D.C. or New York. You can make a difference when you're young and starting out. There are a lot of nonprofit groups and startup groups that really have shown that already. If you're a college student or a young professional and you're in Philadelphia, you can recognize people, just peers a few years ahead of you who have already done that. Philadelphia is a great destination for that.
And Matt, did you grow up in Paoli sort of thinking that Philadelphia was the worst place on earth, as suburbanites sometimes do?
Not quite. I think I was the one growing up there yelling at my friends saying Philly wasn't as bad as their parents told them it was. I think I had a different experience because I came down the city a lot going to Temple basketball games, so I was always down here. But what's kept me here, I think it's the vibrant neighborhoods. Philadelphia is a city of neighborhoods. You have so many different flavors going on and so much opportunity going on between the neighborhood change that goes on. You have a lot of opportunity for young people to get around, get a different taste of things, and you know, really find out their role in the city, their niche, and really, really fit in.
Tell us a little bit about the group Young Involved Philadelphia. What are you up to? What do you do?
Yeah, Claire? So Young Involved Philadelphia's mission really is to engage, connect, and represent young Philadelphians in the city. And so we just had a forum last night, actually, to cover the issue of taxes, which is currently a timely topic. And the idea is to bring together the city's leadership and the young demographic to really engage with important issues. And then we also set out to connect various groups with each other. So one of the things I think is challenging about getting to know Philadelphia is that there's so many different things going on, but there's not really a unified voice for the young demographic. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that Young Involved Philadelphia is looking to do is to connect various groups with each other to get the conversation going. And then lastly, to really represent the young demographic to city leadership, which last night's event was a perfect example of us bringing together a group of young people to really to ask some tough questions of city leadership.
So I understand you had Councilman Bill Green, you had Rob DeBow, who's the finance director, a couple of other panelists. How many people showed up for the event?
There were about 60 to 75 people there, so it was a good showing for a day after an election and a beautiful day outside in Philadelphia.
Right. Now, what are some of the other things you're planning with Young Involved Philadelphia? You do social things as well as issue-oriented things, right?
Yeah, well, we're actually planning an Explore Philadelphia summer tour series. And so the idea is that we're going to be partnering with Hidden Cities and the Preservation Alliance to do an event actually next Tuesday from 5 to 7 at 19, if anyone's interested in joining us. And then we're going to announce there a summer walking tour series that's going to be themed Explore Philadelphia. Because, again, I think one of the things when you're new to a city and you're a young person, you really want to get to know the various neighborhoods that Matt mentioned better and to really understand what Philadelphia is beyond just Center City, for example. And so we're going to do a walking tour series to really help people get more engaged with the city. So we're excited about that.
And Matt Goldfein, I understand you're also working on a project called Why I Love Philadelphia. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, we're working on this project, Why I Love Philadelphia. It's still a project in the making. But overall, it's going to be trying to instill civic pride here in Philly. I think Philly gets a bad rap all the time. And people who live here love Philadelphia. And this will be a great opportunity for people in their own voice to say why they love the city, why they stay here, why they live here, why they have families here. And it'll be a great way for everybody from all walks of life to express their views. And it'll be a great tool for the city to be able to market themselves to young people and all other people who are, you know, learning about Philadelphia.
And you did sort of a trial run on that. You want to talk about some of the things you mentioned as why you love Philadelphia?
Yeah, you know, I think certain places in Philadelphia, Reading Terminal Market is such a vibrant place of life, things going on, different types of food, people coming by, all sorts of hidden treasures like the Tiburino Museum in West Philly. The Italian Market is a wonderful place where you have all sorts of cultures coming together, immigrant cultures, old, you know, neighborhood cultures. It's just, you know, food, everything. There's so many different things going on in the city that, you know, geography, food, you know, all these things coming together. It's great.
Ned Rockmanino, I'd like to find out what you like, but I'm also worried that this wouldn't be an authentic Philadelphia show if we were so upbeat and positive all the time. So after you mentioned a couple of things you like, I'm also wondering, what is it about the city coming from central PA that remains a mystery to you or drives you crazy?
Well, Matt mentioned it. The neighborhoods, again, are such a strong attraction. They're great because you can come from anywhere and find a neighborhood that represents you. I mean, not just in Center City. You can go to South Philly and find something a little more like your family community. You can find a place for you and your friends to set up shop in West Philadelphia outside of University City or Northern Liberties. If you are a strong Polish descent, you can go into the Polish community up in the Northeast. Mm-hmm. You have everything to choose from. It's carte blanche. You name it, you can go there. And you can't find that anywhere else, especially back where I come from, where it's very there's no diversity. There's nothing but deer in silos. But of course, there are drawbacks. In a large city, you do have crime, which is an issue, and which the current administration, is making progress on. That's something that one group can't just change overnight. It's a change in culture. It's a change in economy, a change in education. It's a multi-pronged effort, and it's going to take many years. That's always a concern. And when you're coming to any large city, not just Philadelphia, I mean, you could be going to New York or Washington.
Test. statewide required monthly test of the emergency alert system originating from the Pennsylvania Emergency Management Agency, Harrisburg. This is only a test.
That's something that would push back some of the crime concerns. Claire
Robertson Kraft, coming from Texas, mm-hmm. a very different place, did you find Philadelphia an easier or difficult place to crack into to figure out the code and how to meet people?
That's a great question. I actually think it was pretty difficult, and that's one of the things I mentioned. I think my experience as a Penn student was different than many, and that most people that go to the University of Pennsylvania or come to Philadelphia from the outside, I think, have a hard time breaking into the sort of political structures and mm-hmm. the force that's in place in Philadelphia. And so I was able to do it, I think, as an urban studies major and just getting involved in a variety of different groups by chance and having a lot of friends that were locals. But I think that the city is sometimes closed off to outsiders and that there is a vibrant neighborhood scene, but people don't know about it and people don't know how to find out about it. And I think that to me is one of the major weaknesses of Philadelphia as a city. And a question, how can Philadelphia better market itself so that people understand that Philadelphia is more than just Center City?
Ned, you're nodding your head as Claire talks.
It's funny, I mean, trying to get into, I guess, the old Boys and Girls Club in Philadelphia, which the reputation is somewhat accurate, it takes relentless networking and a thrift store suit when you're young. You have to get in and keep making appearances and remember people. I mean, I chose staying in Philadelphia for a couple summers rather than study abroad because I didn't want to miss a beat in getting to know the people, the playmakers in the city, and it pays off, but it certainly you have to put a lot of effort into it, more than probably in other environments just because of that attitude. That
and for any young Philadelphians we may have listening at the moment, and we'll be getting to your calls after a short break, but Ned, where is the good place to buy a thrift suit?
The Salvation Army on 22nd and Market, and you can also go to Village Thrift if it's still there on Girard. Those are some pretty good options, but seriously, and there are a retrospect on South Street if you can find one of the cheap ones. Their prices are up and down. But
now, Matt, you grew up around here, so you grew up watching, you know, Jim Gardner and Action News, and you know how to order a cheesesteak and all that, but did you also find it a little difficult to break in?
To a certain respect. I mean, growing up in the suburbs, you know, it's not growing up in the city. I'm not from Philly, so I definitely have that. One of the things I have found, though, I think there, while it is tough to break in if you're not from the city, there is a certain distinct advantage that people from the city have over those of us who grew up in the city or in the area, and that's they don't have the fear. They don't have the baggage that a lot of people here have had for years. I think a lot of people who are younger and looking to, you know, instill some life into the political system or actually, you know, try and change things are often encumbered by the baggage they have and the knowledge of the past and the political system as it is. I think people who come here from other places are a lot less fearless and actually attack things in a lot better way.
Okay, thanks very much. That was Matt Goldfein, one of three members of the group Young Involved Philadelphia, who's with us today on Radio Times. This is Radio Times. I'm Chris Cetullo, Executive Director of News, sitting in for Marty Moskowain. We're talking with our three friends from Young Involved Philadelphia about why they love the city, what they hope it could become, and how it might break their heart. After the break, we'll have more from Claire Robertson Kraft, Matt Goldfein, and Ned Rockmanino, and we'd also like to hear your stories of living in Philadelphia at 1-888-477-9499.
Supporting WHYY Art Sanctuary, honoring Terry McMillan, Dr. Houston Baker Jr., Walter Dean Myers, and Jerry Pinkney as the Lifetime Achievement Award recipients this Friday at the Church of the Advocate and followed on Saturday with an outdoor festival. This event is part of Art Sanctuary's 25th annual Celebration of Black Writing Festival through May 23rd. Details at 215-232-4485 or online at artsanctuary.org.
You're listening to Radio Times on WHYY. It's 10:20. In the second hour at 11, guest host Chris Cetullo talks with writer James Dodson about his new book called A Son of the Game, a story of golf, going home, and sharing life's lessons. The WHYY forecast, a high of 83 degrees this afternoon under sunny skies. Clear overnight, low 58 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny to start, a couple of clouds in the afternoon, high near 85, and Saturday turning partly cloudy, high 82.
Hearing voices.
That was mortars. It just fired maybe 40 feet in back of me.
War Memorial. returned to Vietnam.
This whole place was a Viet Cong territory. Over there were straw huts run by the Viet Cong. The American hit us with bombs and everything else, burned the whole village.
War Memorial from Hearing Voices.
Monday at noon on WHYY.
Welcome back to Radio Times. This is Chris Cetullo sitting in for Marty Moskowain, and we're talking about the somewhat stormy love affair between Philadelphia and its young college graduates. We have three members of the group Young Involved Philadelphia here today. They are Claire Robertson-Kraft, Matt Goldfein, and Ned Rock-Menino. I want to talk a little bit about politics, and Matt, I'm going to throw this question to you because you're very involved politically. In many ways, Michael Nutter, the current mayor, really was the candidate of younger, reform-minded Philadelphians. You were his base, and he won because it turned out that he was the acceptable second choice of a lot of other groups, but it was young people who seemed to provide the early energy to his campaign. So he's about a year in, a little more than a year in, to his first term, and it's been a little rocky. So I'm wondering, your view, Matt, and other young people you mm-hmm. talk to, how's he doing? Are you disappointed yet?
No. I think he's doing a good job. I think he came into it with a very tough job at hand. I think, you know, there are a lot of similarities and drawn between Obama and Nutter and the situations they came into. I think he's got the same thing with President Obama, that his first job was to repair Philadelphia's image abroad, outside of the city, and internally as far as the corrupt issues of the former administration and things like that. And I think he addressed those really well from the outset. Then going forward, we had the fiscal crisis come in, which nobody could have expected. I mean, there were some signs, but to actually have to deal with that and starting a new administration, that's a very tough job. I think they're adapting well. As far as, you know, working with council, it's going to be a work in progress. I think Nutter, having been as a councilman, that one outsider who was constantly pushing the mayor and then coming into being the mayor himself, and not only that, not having been executive before, it's some, you know, it's going to be a learning process, and the learning curve is pretty steep. I think they're doing a good job, and we'll see how their, you know, conversation with council grows over time.
I'm going to spare Ned Rock-Menino from answering that question, since he is an employee of Mayor Nutter at this point. But Claire Robertson-Kraft, and the conversations you have or the discussions you have at YIP, what are people thinking? Is the progress on reform and the green agenda and other things that got people excited about Michael Nutter fast enough, or are people getting a little worried?
I mean, I think I'd agree with Matt that he's doing the best job that he can with difficult circumstances, but I think that people want to be involved and people want to be engaged. And I think that, you know, the first round of the trying out the budget in the fall, realizing that people weren't being involved and engaged in that process was an important learning process for him. And so I think the second round, people have felt like their concerns and their perspectives are being listened to more. And I think that that's important. But overall, I think that people are satisfied with the way that the city is moving.
The budget fight. You had a forum about that last night, which YIP sponsored. What is your take, Claire, on this ongoing discussion about which taxes should be raised or whether taxes should be raised at all? Is there a young person's view on what should happen around the tax issues?
Right. Well, I can certainly share some of my perspective, and then I'd love to turn it off to Ned Rock-Menino, who I see nodding here because he's got some opinions as well. But I mean, I think from the young person's point of view, the wage tax in Philadelphia is, I mean, obviously Philadelphia is one of the few cities in the country that has a wage tax. And that in of itself is a huge impact on young Philadelphians. And so I think that that combination, along with some of the high business privilege taxes, drive businesses out of the city, making the economic environment not one that's as conducive to the young demographic. And so we can't, if the jobs are out in, you know, Conshohocken as opposed to the city, that's not as attractive, say, as you go to New York and all of the jobs are centrally located. So I think that the tax structure is something that the young demographic does have opinions on, but given where we are as a city right now, we don't have a whole lot of options about how to make some changes there.
Right. Ned Rock-Menino?
Well, we're almost at a disadvantage because we have a tax that most cities don't carry, the wage tax. And if you're new to Philadelphia, that's the one thing you recognize. You know Philadelphia has this quote-unquote wage tax, and it's a burden on the city, and it's certainly something that sets us apart from other cities. By targeting wage tax raises, and I'm certainly glad they didn't take this route, we could have added to that negative perception that Philadelphia is a city with a rising wage tax. We can't have that. Not only is it bad for young professionals who have the flexibility to move if they need to or are looking to move into Philadelphia and can choose one of our, you know, competitor cities just as easily, it also hurts business and just about everything in Philadelphia as it is, it might drive people away further still from the area. It's bad for development. It's bad for attraction. It's bad for attention. It's very difficult. Targeting a more broad, another broad-based tax, but something that maybe won't affect everyone to the same degree, the sales tax, it's a better move. That coupled with probable full assessment being enacted in the next year, it should help to balance our revenue stream to get through the next 2 years while the economy is still in flux.
Did any of you attend the budget workshops that were held this year? I'm just, having been involved in this, I saw those as a real collision between old Philadelphia and new Philadelphia, because you had a lot of older people, advocates used to protecting services, having certain opinions about taxes. In that experience, did you hear some things from older residents of Philadelphia that made you see the issues in any kind of a new way, Ned Rockmania?
Well, there's a lot of commonality, first of all. We all want police. We all want fire. We all want EMT services. They're important to any way of life. Same with trash collection. But we also want recycling. Mm-hmm. I don't know if necessarily some of the older citizens wanted recycling. They knew what it was. They didn't know what type of benefits it offered. Again, we want opportunities to protect potential, creating jobs in the area. And we're less concerned maybe some of the older services, services catering to older residents. There's always going to be differences between any demographic. Mm-hmm. We just need to make sure that the leadership is hearing our voices equally. Unfortunately, historically, our demographic has had less power at the voting poll, at the polls come election day, whereas the other older demographics certainly have had their say. We need to make sure that we can, as a group, come together and advocate. We want better opportunities for business. We want better opportunities to start a family, incentives for first-time home ownership, so on.
Ned, you mentioned recycling. You write a blog, I believe, called Trash Me. What's that all about?
Well, I stopped doing this in about January, but with Melissa Dribben from the Philadelphia Inquirer, we're looking to kind of respond to Mayor Ray Nagin from New Orleans' comments about Philadelphia being a much dirtier city. We highlighted the different efforts on keeping Philadelphia clean, changing the way of life, beautification projects. It was a great way to promote the actual initiatives in Philadelphia that were launching around the same time. Keep Philadelphia Beautiful came back right at that moment. Why I live to love in Philadelphia. The promotion came out at the same time. Mm-hmm. So we're able to launch a number of different things in conjunction with the blog and promote them. We had some great feedback. A lot of schools were able to work with get in touch with Keep Philadelphia Beautiful to get in some of these clean and green efforts. It was a success, and we stopped doing it mostly because we saw such a great participation from the communities. They were kind of going on their own. There was less need to actually promote the efforts because they were at full capacity.
Right. Matt Goldfein, I want to talk a little bit about the issues that occur when there is an infusion of young people into a fairly stable or older neighborhood. You live in Germantown, which would qualify as that. There's a lot of concern in Philadelphia neighborhoods about anything that looks like gentrification or rapid change that could lead to problems for longtime residents. How are you seeing that playing out in Germantown, and what's sort of the consciousness of the young people who are moving out into the neighborhoods about that issue?
Well, I think it's a really tough dynamic because always the front lines of neighborhood change, you have young people for the most part. I mean, any real estate agent worth their weight and for sale signs knows you need artists, you need musicians, you need young people to really drive up the values of a neighborhood. So the dynamic at the front there is always interesting because usually it's renters, it's young people who are the first ones into these areas that have been depressed for a while, and they're starting to be improved. And they're not as resented, I feel, as much as the first homeowners, the yuppies that really come in. Mm-hmm. And I think there are a lot of alliances that are built between the young people that are first, come into some of these communities with the old-time communities who have been working for years to better themselves. And there are some great civic dialogues that go on there. But as soon as the housing values come up so high that people are buying left and right, all of a sudden you have all of the dynamics of the fight of the new versus old come in. But there's this brief moment of discussion that's pretty good sometimes.
We're talking today on Radio Times with three members of the group Young Involved Philadelphia about what it's like to be young and in Philadelphia and committed to the city. We'd love to hear from you, whether you're young and experiencing the same kind of things as our three guests, Matt Goldfein, Ned Rockmanino, and Claire Robertson Kraft, or whether you're a longtime Philadelphian who's watched this infusion of younger people into your city and into your neighborhood. We'd like to hear your story, too. The number to call is 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. And I think we'll go to a caller, Joe from Bucks County. Joe, welcome to Radio Times.
Thank you. How are you?
Very good. Go ahead.
My comment is I'm a job consultant. I work with young adults who just graduated from college. And the majority of them, when I ask them about their geographical targets, will generally say New York City. And I say, well, why New York? Why not Philadelphia? And what they will do is they say, well, I'm not really sure, but, you know, Philly, I just like the sound of New York better. I want to be in the city, et cetera, et cetera. And based on what I do, I really get a good sense that Philly has these fabulous opportunities. This organization sounds great. There's Networking in Philly, which is another organization that's more focused on the social aspect of bringing kids together. Greater Philadelphia Cares is another organization that's volunteer-focused that I send, you know, these young adults to get involved. And I'm wondering, my question is, I'm wondering how you intend to market this initiative and market this message to get to the youngsters so that they will start to see Philly as a viable option based on the fact that there are tremendous opportunities for them, but their perception is that New York's much cooler and better almost. But in my experience, I'm getting them to land quicker when they broaden their focus and actually head into New York.
Thanks very much for the call, Joe. I think I'll throw the question first to Claire Robertson-Kraft as chair of Young Involved Philadelphia.
Sure, and I think that's a great question. And I went to the University of Pennsylvania, and we always joke that our entire school migrates to New York City. So I had a lot of friends that were in the same boat as the people that you mentioned. And I think, first of all, one of the major things is just building the knowledge base around what Philadelphia has to offer so that people aren't leaving because they don't know what's here, but they're leaving because they really understood the city and New York seems like the better option. I think we're losing a lot of people because they don't actually know what Philadelphia has to offer. So part of what we're trying to do as a group is to better network with some of the organizations that you did mention, as well as the multitude of organizations that exist in the city, Campus Philly, Innovation Philadelphia, Urban Philly, to make sure that the word is getting out and using college campuses as well as other marketing opportunities to really make sure people understand what Philadelphia is. And so our Explore Philadelphia Summer Walking Tour series is one effort along those lines.
Okay, Ned Rockmanino.
Cool can only go so far, especially in this economy. When young citizens of Philadelphia, people looking at Philadelphia, when they realize the actual economic opportunity and the savings by coming to Philadelphia over D.C. or New York or Boston or Chicago or wherever, it makes dollars and cents. Land values are cheaper. Living expenses are cheaper. The standard of – I mean, you can get much better – I mean, rents are cheaper. Everything you're looking for, access to workforce, there's more available workforce. You have so much more opportunity, especially if you have that entrepreneurial spirit and you're looking to start something in Philadelphia. You have more opportunity to kind of see what you can do. You have more running room. You have more opportunity to flex, less competition to worry about. And again, you're in a great location. You can still get to New York in an hour and a half if you become a multimillionaire. I mean, maybe you go to New York then, but maybe you stay in Philadelphia and realize, look what I can give back. Look how my immediate impact is done. I can continue this. As far as marketing goes, we need to target both, you know, the young Wharton and Temple grads looking to, you know, capitalize the world, and also to try to get back into our neighborhoods and show the opportunities to people who maybe aren't going to college but still want to start a business, still want to get into metal fabrication or auto repair or something other than, you know, finance and insurance and other professional services. The opportunities are there across the board. We have room for everything in Philadelphia. We won't turn them away.
Let me throw the discussion back to Joe, our caller, for a minute. In your experience, is that cost of living argument that Ned makes resonating with the people you deal with? Sounds like we lost
her. Sounds like a yes.
Matt Goldfein, in your view, is one of the biggest problems the job market, or the sense that the job market here is not as strong as it might be some other places, or not as easy to crack into?
I don't think so. I mean, fiscal crisis aside, while the job market is horrible everywhere, generally, Philadelphia, I think, is one of the few places where you can actually, if, you know, you're a young college kid just trying to pick up, go somewhere and start off, Philadelphia is one of the best places to do it because of that cost of living aspect and because you can work your way up, you know, slowly to get in. I think beyond that, you know, Philadelphia, you know, to address the cool factor, I mean, Philadelphia, you know, is, you know, on the rise, doing really well. And, you know, recent things interesting in the media. You know, the hipster grifter came down to Philadelphia from New York, so obviously it's pretty cool.
Thank you. Claire Robertson-Kraft.
I would just say I don't disagree with that point, but I don't think that the university level, we always do a good job of marketing the opportunities that are here. So having been a Penn grad, I never heard about jobs in Philadelphia. All of the companies that came down were companies from New York. So I think that the opportunities are here, but the city needs to do a better job of connecting young individuals with those opportunities. And I think we would have more people stay if that was the case.
Okay, let's go to another caller. We have a caller from Stratford, New Jersey, who wants to talk about South Philly. You're on the air. Welcome to Radio Times.
Yes, thank you. My name is Father Matthew Weber, and I grew up just outside of Philadelphia in Glen Olden, Delaware County. And my mother, she grew up in South Philly. And the great thing I remember about going to South Philly, and I still go down there, I have a lot of family, is that it was that great sense of neighborhood. People were connected to each other and how people took care of their homes. And I still go down there, but however, I would say the real downside of the city is, as I go to South Philly, is that it's a dirty city. It's people that aren't looking out for their sidewalks, for their streets, they're not keeping them clean. I don't think they're as connected as they, at least in my impression, as they used to be when I was growing up. There was a great sense of neighborhood, and I think that's a strong point of Philadelphia, that sense of neighborhood, and how just even to keep one's block very clean. And I think that's something that really needs to be encouraged in the neighborhoods, and that people need to come together, keep it clean, start planting trees, and really just contributing to the neighborhood, and I think that will have a ripple effect.
Thank you. Ned Rockmanino, that's one of the things that comes up is sort of the thought, well, when you have people who move into a neighborhood-based city like Philadelphia, who grew up in the suburbs, other places, where there isn't a tradition of sort of working together to hold the neighborhood together. You're used to just getting services for your tax dollar in a lot of parts of America. Did you see that play out in the work you did around trash, that people weren't as used to the notion?
At first, and I guess it exists. It changes wherever. It's by neighborhood. But you have some great examples, like in Newbold. They started a neighborhood cleanup. They want to get people involved. They have an empty – they kind of came together over an abandoned lot, and they took it over, and they turned it into a garden, and built a little trash center, had – bi-monthly cleanups. Port Richmond, the same thing. You have two cleanups a year and a great event. They pull their resources together to actually contract a cleaning service, take additional trash. And you have East Passyunk right now is trying to recruit new board members to kind of get the new residents, the new neighbors involved, and kind of mix them together and establish that sense of community. It takes an effort from the communities themselves. Each community is different. And if you embrace the new residents, you have that opportunity to kind of grow that sense of community, that identity.
Thank you very much for the call, Father. We're talking today with three members of Young Involved Philadelphia, Matt Goldfein, Ned Rockmanino, and Claire Robertson-Kraft. We're talking about the positives and the negatives about being young and in Philadelphia. If you'd like to join the conversation, please call us at 1-888-477-9499. If you're a young person living in Philadelphia or you have a tale of young people living in Philadelphia, that's 1-888-477-WHYY. We'll be back after this short break.
Arden Theatre Company supports WHYY and presents The Seafarer by Connor McPherson. The story unfolds in Ireland on a boozy Christmas Eve. A group of men playing poker are joined by a mysterious stranger. As their evening progresses, the card game takes a sinister turn, and the stakes rise higher than anyone could have expected. The Broadway drama The Seafarer, now making its Philadelphia premiere at Arden Theatre Company. Tickets available online at ardentheatre.org.
It's 10:40. You're listening to Radio Times on WHYY. Ahead in the second hour at 11, guest host Chris Cetullo talks with writer James Dodson about his new book, A Son of the Game, a story of golf, going home, and sharing life's lessons. The WHYY forecast, a sunny afternoon, high 83 degrees. Mostly clear overnight, low 58. Tomorrow, sunny to start, a couple of clouds in the afternoon, high near 85 degrees. Saturday, partly cloudy, high 82.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. We'll go on the trail of the swine flu with a flu tracker. Also, journalist John Pomfret, who was in Tiananmen Square 20 years ago this week, he remembers, even if many Chinese don't. That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of News and Culture here and now.
Today at noon on WHYY.
Welcome back to Radio Times. I'm Chris Cetullo, filling in today for Marty Moscowane, and we're talking about young, involved Philadelphians. We're three people who certainly fit that description. To join the conversation, call 1-888-477-9499. We're here with Matt Goldfein, Ned Rockmanino, and Claire Robertson-Kraft. And I'd like to turn the topic to something that I heard a lot about in the past couple of years as I've done citizen forums around Philadelphia and heard a very different message about this topic from young people than from longtime residents. That would be SEPTA and mass transit, about which longtime Philadelphians have a certain fatalistic acceptance. It is what it is. It's there to serve working class people. But young people seem to have a different view. Ned Rockmanino, you were talking about it over the break, SEPTA.
I mean, SEPTA really supports a way of life in Philadelphia, especially when you're part of this next generation. You don't want a car. You don't need a car. You can get everywhere by mass transit, and the mass transit system needs to respond to that. I think SEPTA is doing what they can. They've definitely made some great changes in the last 2 years in terms of kind of connecting with citizens of all ages, but specifically younger citizens. I'm a representative on the Citizen Advisory Committee, and we kind of be able to take feedback and take ideas and review some of the policies that are coming up for SEPTA, and we're able to kind of make sure a younger perspective is fielded by SEPTA. And we've seen some progress. We're going to have a youth advisory council on the horizon for younger residents, high school, college students, and hopefully that can transition to what their needs are now, what they will be in college, so we can kind of feed off of that and develop accordingly. The complaints are really the same across the board, young or old. I mean, there's a lot of commonality. Nobody wants litter on SEPTA. Nobody wants smoking. We want timely trains. For the most part, we can guarantee, SEPTA can guarantee that, and it's great. But if you're coming from outside, if you're coming from New York or Washington, where they have impeccable mass transit services, it's tough, especially when you're coming from Washington's metro. You see Philadelphia, and you have people smoking and eating down in the stations, and you're almost afraid to be down there. We need to kind of change that perception of an unsafe system, and really market the opportunity SEPTA presents for a younger person to get around the city. You don't need a car. You don't need a cab. You can get on the train. It'll take you to Manyunk. You can get a bus back at 3 in the morning if you want. 2 in the morning, we're working on that. Come back late at night.
Well, that is one of the issues we heard a lot about from young people, is that SEPTA doesn't serve the needs of people who want to go out and experience the city on weeknights as well as weekends. Matt, you're nodding your head.
Well, I think they're making a best effort. They added some trains, I think, on the R5 recently, a later night train to respond to that. But the finances just aren't there. I think that they're making plans for that in the future. But until the prices of gas go up and we have a huge influx of people riding the trains again, like we've seen over the past couple of years, it's going to be the economic situation that they're governed by. But I think SEPTA is making the right plans to adapt towards, catering to a younger demographic and younger lifestyle.
We're talking today with three members of Young Involved Philadelphia, and one thing that's striking me over and over again is how patient and upbeat and mostly positive you are, even when I try to get you to complain about something. So I'm wondering about that aspect of the Philadelphia attitude, which is definitely that it's tough, it's quick to complain, it's quick to go to the negative. How do you encounter that, and then how do you respond to it, and do you see any chance that your generation will make inroads in that? Matt, you're smiling.
I'd say one aspect. I mean, it's quick to complain, but it's quick to shoot from the hip, and that's one of the things that's best about Philadelphia. Yeah, some people see it as kvetching. I see it as, being genuine. A lot of people, sometimes give Philly a bad rap for being rude. People speak their minds, and I think that's a good thing. Sometimes it's viewed as being, as rude, but it leads to a really good dialogue in the city that I think, I don't think Claire coming in from the outside probably has a better perspective than we do.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would say on that point that a lot of the people that I knew that I went to college with left Philadelphia in large part due to what they perceived to be a negative attitude. They didn't find the city was open, that it was welcoming, that it it liked different perspectives. And so I think that that's something that Philadelphia needs to work on fixing for sure. I mean, my own perspective on it is that I like going to forums and I like engaging in conversation. And sometimes when the conversation gets heated, it makes it more exciting. But I think that we need to do what we can to change that complaining to really thinking about how we can provide feedback in a way that's productive.
All right, we have a lot of callers who want to go in, so let's start bringing them into the conversation. Next up is Daniel in Wilmington. Welcome to Radio Times, Daniel.
Hi there, how are you?
Very good.
Thanks for taking my call. I really just wanted to make a quick comment, and that is I went to graduate school down in Washington, and I have a lot of friends here at UPenn Law and Architecture School and different programs in the city. And my experience has actually been sort of the opposite of what some of your commentators and guests have mentioned, which is that many of the people that I speak with really just want to remain in the city as long as, and the only thing that stops them is the lack of work. I myself have been trying to get back into the city for many years and just looking for employment to make it happen. And so I think in addition to advertising it, I think I haven't actually seen the abundance of employment in certain fields that your guests are talking about, but I have seen the desire to stay here.
And Daniel, again, what field were you looking for work in?
I I have a graduate degree from Johns Hopkins in International Relations and Linguistics. Mm-hmm. The other thing is I'm in Philadelphia now because I love the city, and I have to commute down to Delaware for work. So despite a couple of years of trying to find work around here, I've ended up living here because I like it and driving far, far away for work.
Okay, thanks very much.
Sure.
Our guests from Young Involved Philadelphia are drawing a blank as to how to help Daniel find a job. Claire.
I don't have any help on the job front. But I do think that's an important perspective and one that I was trying to share. There may be job opportunities here. I don't think we do a good job of connecting young people with the job opportunities that are available. And I also think that Philadelphia doesn't have competitive opportunities in some sectors and that's a major weakness of the city. How you go about fixing that is obviously a much more complicated problem that I think gets into issues of tax structure and much beyond just that. What is Philadelphia's niche market? And I don't know that, I mean, we have some, but right. I think that we certainly are lacking in specific areas.
I think it goes back a little bit to something that Ned Rockmanino said a little while ago, cool only goes so far. At some point, you've got to live, and people want to be in an area where they have the opportunity to have a variety or an array of job choices because nobody expects to stay with one company for their whole life anymore. So you want to know that there's a sector you can move around in. I think we'll go out to a caller again. We have Brian in Manayunk. Brian, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I wanted to add a general comment about the political structure of Philadelphia. I feel like the city government is just so bogged down in patronage and bickering that the city kind of can't get out of its own way to make the improvements that would make Philadelphia more desirable and a more desirable place for young people to move to.
Okay, thank you, Brian. Matt Goldfein is very involved in local politics. So, Matt, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, I think that's always obviously been the perception of Philadelphia. We're at a very interesting tipping point right now in the city. I think a lot of the corrupt ways that people have talked about in the city are starting to change. Obviously, look at the election of Mayor Nutter and some of the past elections. But I think given the structure of Democratic City Committee, you're seeing some major changes right now. There's a vacuum of leadership going on, and there's a real opportunity for some people across the city to step up. Changing demographics, changing views, and also changing technology have provided a great opportunity for people to get involved politically. And I think the old school party structure doesn't quite have the power that it used to. And specifically speaking to young people across Philly, get involved. There's a real opportunity right now to change the face of the city. The next 2 to 4 years, we could really make a huge impact.
Thank you for the call, Brian. But to follow up on that, Matt, it's true that there are opportunities to get involved, but getting involved and actually getting elected and seizing some power are different things. It's a one-party town, and that one party is used to fairly hardball Democratic machine politics. What have the experiences been of some of the young people trying to get elected, like the founder of Young Involved Philadelphia ran for office a couple of times? So how long is it going to take before you're actually positioned to where you can not just get involved, make your voice heard, but actually win an election?
It's going to take some time. It's going to take some patience. My own personal experience 2 years ago, I got in on the ground floor running Hiley Johnson's city council campaign. We knew nothing about politics, weren't connected, didn't win, but we've grown and gone since there. You look at Seth Williams, a perfect example. 4 years ago, ran, had, you know, nobody thought he had a shot. Here he is, just elected DA, won the Democratic nomination for DA.
Can't amount to the same thing.
It takes some patience, and I think in any, you know, aspect of politics, you have to put some time in. But if you are persistent and actually start building and networking with other people who are interested in change across the city, there's a real opportunity. It's not going to happen overnight. You can see Nutter hasn't been able to change the city overnight, but it takes some time and some patience. And if you stick with it, there are a lot of us here working to do it. And I think, you know, we're, again, starting to reach a tipping point.
Thanks. That was Matt Goldfein of Young Involved Philadelphia. We're here with three members of that group, including Ned Rockmanino and Claire Robertson-Kraft. We have a very full board of calls, so we'll go out next to Diane in South Philly. Welcome to Radio Times, Diane.
Hi. You're very soft. I hope I'm audible. My observation is that Philadelphia doesn't exist in terms of signage. I can remember seeing a sign that mentioned Baltimore, Washington and New York, and Wilmington, but no Philadelphia on I-95. It is as though we are trying to limit access to Philadelphia to only those who know how to get here. And this strikes me as dangerous because I know from my own experience that if I don't know where I'm going, I'm likely to jam on the brakes and create a, you know, a 60-car pileup. And it's just bad. If in 35 years of coming to Philadelphia from Washington, for example, my parents never felt that they were able to get into town with any kind of assurance and comfort. And trying to go to the suburbs, well, that's just, you know, that's like going into terra incognita. So this does not strike me as a very expensive improvement, but I think that other cities in the Mid-Atlantic and up and down the seaboard have better signage than we do, and I don't see why we can't have it.
Diane, you have hit on one of my pet peeves from driving frequently up I-95. They tell you how far it is to Boston before you've even got to Wilmington without mentioning Philadelphia, and we haven't even got into the signs around the airport. Lots of smiles around the table. Does anybody have any solutions for Diane, Ned?
Well, as far as the signage goes specifically, that seems like a PennDOT issue, and I would contact your state representative on that one. We have one sitting next to me here, so maybe afterwards you might want to get some follow-up information. But as far as marketing goes, I mean, it's true, Philadelphia needs to do a better job, and it's something Philadelphia's been trying to target for the last 8-10 years. The Greater Philadelphia Tourism Marketing Corporation is coming out with a new campaign to try to get more attention to the city, both regionally in the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast, and also overseas in Europe. So we're working on getting that type of awareness. You know, Philadelphia's out there. We're working on it in different levels, too. Campus Philly is doing a great job of marketing Philadelphia as a destination for college students all across the U.S. And I think the executive director was in Korea last year working on a marketing program. So we're definitely getting the word out about Philadelphia as a destination. As far as signage, though, I would contact PennDOT.
Thank you for your call, Diane.
Thank you.
Speaking about Campus Philly, that's the organization that looks to do a much better job of connecting students at the local campuses with what's going on in the city better than probably it was when you were at Penn, Claire. We have Doug up next from Mapleshade. Welcome to Radio Times, Doug.
Thank you. Most of those missing signs are, you know, in Maryland and Delaware and New Jersey and, you know, the areas that approach Philadelphia. But I agree, that's a pet peeve of mine, too. You know, I'm 61 years old, so I'm not part of the target demographic. But I did arrive on the East Coast when I was 20. I was injured badly in Vietnam, and they sent me for recuperation to Valley Forge Army Hospital, which was just outside of the city. And I've stayed around here ever since for no other reason than the fact that I love Philadelphia, and I love the whole area. And nothing gives me greater pleasure than to have relatives from, you know, Houston or Des Moines or Atlanta or wherever come here for the first time, and they always tell me that their impression of Philadelphia was that of just another gray, big, bland East Coast city. But once I give them the tour, I'm telling you, they just fall in love. They just can't get enough of it. They are shocked at what they see, how beautiful it is and how vibrant it is and how much there is to do. You know, I don't think there's a major city in this country that I haven't been to many times. And yet, out of all of them, there are very few that are actually worth living in. You know, maybe a half a dozen with a couple others honorable mention. But out of the few that are worth living in, Philadelphia is the only one that's affordable right downtown for an average person. And, you know, I just, you know, we've got a huge population downtown compared to other cities. You know, you go to a place like Houston, they got all these gleaming skyscrapers, but at 5 o'clock at night when the office buildings empty out, there's nothing there other than a few cultural institutions and a stadium and a couple other things, because nobody lives downtown in most other cities.
Right, Doug.
So you got almost 100,000 people in 2 square miles in Philadelphia, and when you have that many people, you get a lot of stuff that those people want, whether it's
just a fabulous
little bakery around the corner, bistros, restaurants, nightclubs, you name it. There's just so much going on. You can live a genuine urban lifestyle here. You don't have to own a car.
Doug, if this is an audition to do the next I Love Philly commercial, I think you get the job, but we're going to have to move on to another caller. Thank you very much. And Claire, the Houston native, was nodding and smiling throughout what you said. Thanks very much for the call, Doug. Wanted in the last few minutes we have to get to an issue we maybe have given a little short shrift, which is the cultural life in Philadelphia and how that connects with you and what the strengths are, but also what Philadelphia needs to work on in terms of that. Matt Goldfein.
It's funny, Doug says about giving tours in Philly. It's whenever I give a tour to a friend in Philly, they say two of the same things every single time. One, why are all those cars parked in the middle of the street on Broad Street? And then secondly, why are all these murals coming from? Philadelphia is the mural capital of the world. We have about to hit 3,000th mural coming up. And I think Philadelphia does a great job of marketing, you know, our general things, the Avenue of the Arts. I think some of the other aspects of our creative sector are not marketed as well. The Fringe Festival is a wonder festival. Hidden City, which is coming up, is a great opportunity to find about different, you know, performance spaces and old performance spaces in Philadelphia.
Thank you, Matt. There's so much more to talk about, but I'm afraid we're going to have to wrap up. We've been talking with three members of Young Involved Philadelphia today, Matt Goldfein, Ned Rockmanino, Claire Robertson-Kraft. Thanks to all of you. And thanks to our listeners. You're listening to WHYY FM Philadelphia, your member-supported news and information station serving Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware.